You guys stand up here. Come up here. All right, so before they head out, let's go ahead and let's pray for them. Father God, we come before you giving thanks, Lord. We give you thanks for allowing us to worship you through music, Lord. And now as we're about to dismiss the kids to go next door, Father, we ask that you be with their hearts. Lord, as young as they are, Father, I beg you and I plead with you, Father, would you rescue them at this young age, Lord, as they stand before us. Father, I pray as a faith family that that's on our minds and our hearts, Lord, that you would rescue them at a young age, that they wouldn't have to go through the different things that we went through, Father, because their hearts and their minds are on you and not in the evilness of this world. So, Father, as they now leave and head next door, Father, we just want to lift them up. We thank you for them. We love you and we praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. You guys good? Good to go. Funny, most of you guys who know me, who've been here from the beginning, know that this is not me, right? Being in front of a group of people is not me, right? And as I start walking up, because I know that we're coming to the last song, I automatically go to that phrase in high school where I knew if I had to get in front of a group of people, I was skipping. So I almost did. I almost did this morning. I almost left and left you guys with Sandy or Henry, but I didn't do it, all right? So, Pastor's been going through this little mini-series. I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but it's Why Not? Right? So, the first one he hit was Why Not Surrender to Christ? All right? That was the first Why Not. You guys remember that one? Kind of? Don't lie. All right? The second one was Why Not Get Baptized? Right? Last week, Why Not Join the Church? And this week, he tasked me with Why Not Grow in Christ? Right, and I start thinking about that question, and it's scary and it's sad that we have to be asked that question. But the truth is, that's something that constantly should be on our hearts. Like constantly that we should be asking ourselves, why not grow in Christ? Right? Why am I not growing in Christ? Right? I think that we are a people, and I don't want to put everybody in that group, but I think for the most part, the church nowadays are people who we delight in listening to God's word, but we run from doing. Right? And that's the mindset we have to change. All right, so today I want to look at three things, and I'm going to be upfront. They're simple. Right? But allowing them to take root in our heart is a different thing. So there's three ways that I believe, and it would help me grow. That's why I'm up here today. That if we allow to work into our hearts, that we would grow in Christ. Right? It wouldn't be a question of why are you not growing in Christ, it's where are you going to go next? All right, so if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, I want to ask you to go to my favorite book in the Bible, the book of James. James 1. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves too. Is as you guys are turning to James 1, we start asking that question: why not grow in Christ? Right? When you know that God through His love rescued you, right? The sinner that you are, the wicked person you are before God, and He rescued you, you would think that in our hearts we would be running towards the thing of God, right? Running to His Word, running to the things that please Him, but we don't. And I started wondering, is it the way that the church paints a picture of Christ? Right? I get away from that word, accept. A lot of times people say, you know, if you just accept Jesus into your heart, you'll be saved. And I want to remind you, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus ask for your acceptance. Right? He commands surrenderance. Right? And we got to get away from this picture that if you just accept Jesus, that's all He wants. Paint this weak picture of Christ as if He's this hippie, all-loving guy who's just begging for your acceptance. Right? So, with that in mind, Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dive into God's Word. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be up here. Father, to be in front of your people with your Word. Lord, I want to be transparent, and I pray that you help my nerves, Father, and you just speak through me, Father. Father, allow only what you want to be heard by your people. Lord, that if I stumble or mess up, Lord, that you correct it in their hearts and in their minds. Father, that they would see you and leave here with a more of a hunger for your Word, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this text. I thank you for the challenge that you allow me to study your Word even in more in depth to be able to present it to your people. And I thank you for this faith family who is allowing me to be up here, Lord, and trusting in me and loving in me enough to say, we'll let you go up there. Father, I thank you. I love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, James 1. We're going to pick up in verse 19 and go down to verse 25. So you guys go ahead and read aloud. I'll follow. All right, I'll read aloud and you guys follow since you guys are lazy. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring up righteousness, life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it will be blessed in what he does. So three ways we're going to respond to this text, right? The first one is we receive God's word humbly. Right? That's what we have to be known for, receiving God's word humbly. Look what he says here. Everyone should be quick to listen, right? Literally translates to hurry up and listen. Slow to speak. Be quiet. Listen. And slow to become angry, right? Now, with our defenses up, that leads to resistance to God's word. And I know what you might be thinking, that's me, right? I humbly receive God's word, right? I'm slow to speak. I don't get angry with God's word. When we really look at it, is that the case? Like, don't we often come to God's word already kind of with our minds made up of how we want to live our lives, right? We have this idea how we want to go through life, how we want to live our life. We have the plans for our life. So maybe when God's word kind of goes against that a little, we think, you know, that's not as inspiring as these. I like these verses over here, but maybe those verses, they don't inspire me as much. Right? We like John 3:16. It's a good one. What about in Luke 12 when Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor? Right? And our mind starts to think, like, how do I get around that one? But the truth is, we don't get around God's word. We need to receive it for what it says. How do we do that? Look what he says in the next part. Get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. We bring so much of the world into our study of God's word. So much evil, right? So much sinful ideas when we study God's word. And he's saying, put them off. All right, like you take off old clothes, take them off. And humbly accept the word planted in you. And I started doing some Bible study because I like that vision there, right, of accepting the word planted in you. And I want you to turn to me real quick. I'm going to do some Bible study. Go to Jeremiah 31. And I want you to think of this imagery that James is picking up for this word planted in us, right? Remember James? I don't know if you guys know, but James is talking to Jewish Christians. All right, when he's writing, it's this Christian scattered across the world, Jewish Christians, so they would know this text, right? And so he gives this word picture of this word planted in you. And I guys want you to turn Jeremiah 31, verse 31, and listen to this. All right, this is a really good passage that I recommend if you guys don't have underlined or circling your Bible, have circled in your Bible, because Jeremiah 31 is a forecoming of what's to come, of the new covenant that God is making. All right, so again, Jeremiah 31:31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. Listen to this part. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After the time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. You guys see that image there? God's word planted in us, rooted in us. Turn over two books to Ezekiel. I want you to see something here with Ezekiel with me. Ezekiel picks up on the same thing. He says it a little different, but turn with me. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Ezekiel says, "For I will take you out of all the nations. I will gather you from all your countries, and I will bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and ties and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you a heart of flesh and put in you my spirit to move you to follow my decrees and careful to keep my laws." So what Jeremiah is saying, Ezekiel is saying, is God is saying through Ezekiel and Jeremiah, is I'm going to put my spirit in you and my law in you. And the spirit of God through the word of God is going to move you, right? It's going to move you to follow him. Now, jump back with me to James. Right, so now we have this picture. We have the Old Testament, what God was promised, that now James is picking up on that. And he says, humbly accept the word planting in you. Right? And that picture is the Spirit is going to move us. Right? The Spirit fuels our body. Right? Like the blood fuels our hearts and oxygen fuels our lungs. So God's word fuels our life. So we can't underestimate the power of the word of God, which can save you, he says. Look what he says. In verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So it's this word in our heart that brings salvation, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the what? Word of God. Don't be scared to jump in, guys. Be lazy like Sandy. So what is he saying then? What is he telling us about his word? You guys scared to talk? What is God telling us about his word? Nobody? No. He's telling us don't underestimate the power of his word. Right? We need to receive his word humbly. Right? Too many times we try to fit this word in and twist it into our lives. We have this American dream that we try to take Christianity and squeeze it into. Right? And God's word and the American dream, they don't go together like we try to make them go together. Right? And he's saying, humbly receive my word. For what it says, not for what you prefer. So, what I like to do is when I study God's word, and what I want to ask you guys to do is, with that, will you bow your heads and close your eyes? We allow God's word to kind of do his work on you. Is this where you struggle with when you think of growing in Christ? Are you a person who doesn't humbly receive his word? Tries to twist his word and make it fit what you want to say? Because you want to be saved, but you also want to live the way you want to live? Humbly receive his word. So we have this picture of humbly receiving God's word. Second part is we need to remember his word constantly, right? So we got this picture of humbly remembering or humbly receiving his word. And the second part now is remembering it constantly, remembering it constantly. Now, this last one is jump down to verse 22, right? I'm sorry, 25. And I want you to look at this at the end there when he says, "The man that looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom." Intently. I had to look the word up, right? It means to gaze at with penetrating absorption. Right? And the only picture I could come to mind with that look at God's word intently is Little kids. I got kids that are a little older now, so they don't really look at stuff as intently. But the other day, my brother was at my house, and he has a one-year-old, Jace. Right? And so they're at the house, and you guys have those beetles that fly around, and they just kind of slam the thing randomly. Well, these beetles were laying on the floor. And my brother's like, look, Jace, look at the beetle. Right? And what does he do? He stops. Right? And you see little kids, they're so funny, because then they squat down, and they just kind of just staring at that thing. Right? He didn't want to touch it. He had his hands behind his back. But he was just stopping it and just staring there. He wasn't doing nothing. The beetle wasn't doing nothing. But he was just stopped, and he was stuck there. He was just looking at that beetle. Right? And that's the picture that James is looking at. Right? He's saying, stop, people of God. Stop dead in your tracks. Open up God's word and look at it. Right? We can't be content with just reading God's word on Sunday mornings. Right? A little Bible app that gives us inspirational Bible verses during the day. He said, no, look at my word. Look at it intently. We can't be happy with just Sunday morning Bible study. Did Gary say something? But then he gets down and he says, look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, continues to do in that, lingering there, not forgetting what he has heard. It's letting it absorb into you. Right? I want to take you guys one more time to Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. Chapter 6, one of my favorite parts of Scripture. And I want to show you what God is saying here to his people. Right? Because we have a tendency, this is nothing new. Right? That God's been telling his people all through history is, remember. Right? Remember. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Listen to this. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. When? Always. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. God's word saturated in our lives. Listen to this part here. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of things you did not provide, and wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful, he says, to do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Turn two chapters over. Chapter 8. I want you to hear this. God telling his people, remember. 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful, yet that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and decrees that I am giving to you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty, waterless land, and its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your forefathers have never known, to humble you and to test you, so that in the end you might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms the covenant which he swore to your forefathers today. This is the constant temptation for God's people to forget the word of God. This is what James is talking about in James chapter 1, right? And he uses this analogy, right? That sounds ridiculous, right? And he used the analogy of this man who looks at himself in the mirror and he walks away and he has no idea what he looks like. Sometimes I like to look at myself in the mirror and forget what I look like, but it doesn't happen that way, right? But that's what he's saying. He said it's that ridiculous for us to look into God's word and walk away forgetting it. Right? And this is where we have to be honest with ourselves. Right? This morning, just like every Sunday, we're going to spend a good part of time in God's word. right? But then by the time you go to work, I mean lunch, a lot of what we talked about, you forget. Dinner time rolls around, most of it gone. Monday morning kicks off and we start the business after work. You might remember that I was the one that was up here, right? Unless we work to remember. And what's the scary part is, you know, I've been dealing with youth group for how long, Kyler? Long time, 8 years, something like that, all right? And you talk to other people who are involved in youth group or maybe even other churches, right? And they're happy with just, we'll just do one verse, right? Not too much. We don't want to confuse people, right? We give them that one key verse and we'll make our whole sermon over that or a whole lesson over that, right? And we saw in Deuteronomy, you know, God telling his people, saturate your lives with my word. Fathers, mothers, if you're here today, he talked about talking to your kids about God's word. How are you going to talk to your kids about God's word if you don't know God's word? What does he say to talk to your kids about God's word? All day long. Right? This word saturated in our lives. But how can we do that if we don't spend any time with it? So remember it constantly. You know, your pastor, our pastor, right? The leaders who you guys elected to be leaders, this is big to us. Right? That's why pastor had brought you guys all kinds of things. He brought us all kinds of things of being in God's Word daily. Right? He had two books, an in-depth Bible app, right? And he's pushing it, right? We're pushing it. Why? To show you the importance of God's Word. To show you that we have to study it. And I know a lot of people say, and I hear all the time, is I have a hard time remembering Scripture. Right? I can't remember Scripture. And I call bull caca on that one. All right? Because you get in your car and you put on your favorite song and what happens? And you know every word. Right? Don't let Journey come on because I'll be singing for you guys. All right? I'll even do every guitar solo for you. All right? So I think that's foolish to say is I can't remember. Right? And what I love is in Psalm 19, David says, your word is more precious than gold. Right? Than much pure gold. So, what if I told you that the church leaders decided, this is an example, right? It's not happening. But what if I told you they decided that next Sunday you come up and we'll give you $1,000 for every verse you can tell us? You memorize Scripture, right? You would memorize Scripture. So then the question becomes is, what kind of value do we put on God's Word? What value do you guys put on God's Word? I learned as I started studying, and even before that, is I wanted to, this time around, this beginning of this year, is I wanted to learn how the people in God's Word prayed. Right? So I started just reading through the Psalms, right? Using that as my example. And you'll be surprised how God's Word impacts your life, right? You're living according to God's word. You're speaking according to God's word. Your prayer life has changed because now you're praying according to God's word. I like when you read and you see Jesus, when Jesus was tempted, right? Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted. And what does he do when he's tempted? What does he do? He quotes Scripture, right? Over and over. It is written. It is written. It is written. Did Jesus have to do that? No. He can say anything he wants, and it becomes what? Scripture. Right? But he's showing you. Your word have I hidden in my heart, so I not sin against it. So how often do you guys really take the time and study God's word? Memorizing it with your families. I know I need to work on that. As a dad, as a husband. Remember God's word constantly. Don't forget it. This word, James starts to talk about this word of deception, right? He says, you're deceiving yourself. And I think it's important to say, you know, it's a big deal. Big deal, Pines Baptist Church. We gather together for a long time on Sunday mornings. Right, but we leave here forgetting what he said. What's the point? Right? We like to say Pines Baptist Church, committed to knowing God and making known. But if this is us and this is the reality, that we listen to God's word, not put it into practice, not remember it, then our heading or our title changes. Pines Baptist Church, home to the deceived and damned, really is what it's saying. You might say it sounds a little harsh, right? Like, DJ, that sounds kind of harsh. But be honest with yourself. What are we doing if this is just our life? How different do we look than the rest of the world? We got our check mark for Sunday mornings because we listen. But we don't take time to go back to it and read it and study it, apply it. So again, I ask you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes. Only to allow God's word to soak in. And maybe you know that's you this morning. Sunday after Sunday. We come together, we sit, we have fun, we sing. But we're not spending time hiding God's word in our hearts. Saturating our lives with God's word, where it's constantly on our minds. We need to receive the word humbly. Remember it constantly. And third, we need to be obeying God's word. Obey God's word. Verse 22, one of my favorite verses, and it's the key verse in all the book of James. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. And the bottom line is what James is saying is God's word invokes action. Right? And if there's no action happening, then the question becomes is, have I really surrendered and accepted the word? Right? Because we can't say there's no action happening outside of us. Right? Because we know that God's word is living, it's breathing, it's inside of us. Right? What does he say? I put my law in your hearts, my spirit in your hearts, so when you hear this word, what happens? Action. Right? And this goes right in the face of modern Christianity, where it says that you can just accept Jesus, right, but not obey him. James is telling us that God's word is planted in us, and his spirit is in us, moving us to obey him. And you can tell the word is in you by what's happening outside of you. Be honest. And if there's nothing happening outside of you, then the question is there anything inside of you? All right? Because we've got to stop blaspheming the word and saying that it's in me, but it's not doing anything. This word is powerful. It's what God had promised through Ezekiel and Jeremiah. He says, I'm going to put my word in you, and it's going to change everything about you. So as you accept it, then apply it. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. What does Jesus say when he begins? Lord, Lord. He says, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. Right? And that's why he closes out the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Right? Hearing, applying. It's like a man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why? His foundation was on the rock. Heard and applied. But then listen to what he says. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into action, right? He's not talking about the pagan people who don't want to hear. He's talking about the religious people who hear his word and don't put it into practice. It's like a man who built his house on sand. The rain came and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. And I don't want you guys to miss this. If your life is built solely on listening to the words of Jesus, right? That's it. Sunday after Sunday, listening to the words of Jesus, then your life, my life, will ultimately end in destruction. Let that sink in. If that's you, your Christian life is built just on Sundays where we listen to God's word. Doesn't move us to do anything. Then our life will end in destruction. But James says there's another way. Look at verse 25. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. He's not talking about Old Testament law, Mosaic law. He's talking about the law perfected in Christ, the words of Christ, and the truth of Christ that liberates and frees us. I know a lot of people, when you start talking about obedience and laws, they start saying, oh, that's legalism, right? And they don't want to hear nothing of it. But that's when we protect ourselves from legalism, right? James says, you don't run from the law. You run to the law that brings freedom. Psalm 119, I run to the path of your commands, for you set my heart free, right? So the beauty is, we do guard against legalism, right? It's where we realize that we can't do anything to obey the law, but it's the word that God planted in us and the spirit in us that by his grace moves us to follow his laws. But he doesn't move us to run from the commands of Christ. What does he move us to? He moves us to follow the law and the commands of Christ. And this is when he says, looks intently to the perfect law, continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. Now you might be thinking, all right, DJ, that sounds like you're saying that my blessings are conditional on my obedience to God. All right? Are you really saying that? Are you saying that my blessings are conditional on the obedience of my obedience? Conditional on my obedience? And I'm not saying that. James does. Right? Jesus does. We created this picture of Jesus as he's not the sovereign king who demands and deserves our total worship and obedience. Like if it's optional. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. John 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. Right? You're my friends if you do what I command. John 14. If you obey my word, you will remain in my love. 1 John 2. If you claim to know Christ and do not obey his commands, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Strong language. This is strong language. I mean, listen to that. If you claim to know Christ and do not obey his commands, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So how do we put all this together then? How do we then avoid being legalists, right? Because we're not here to do the commands of Christ to earn favoritism by Christ, no. Right? So how does this all fit? And I want you to look back at verse 21. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Right? Listen to it. Get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is giving this picture of salvation by receiving. Right? And listen to it. This is the picture. God, by his grace, puts his word in our hearts, his spirit in our hearts. Always seen, he moves us to obey, so that salvation necessarily involves obedience, but it's obedience that's grounded in the work of God and his truths in our hearts. So now it's not, what can I do to earn salvation, right? He's doing it all. And it's playing out in this kind of action where we humbly receive God's word. Where we remember it constantly, right? It's on our hearts, it's on our minds, and we obey it wholeheartedly. Psalm 1. It's the blessing of God upon a people who are walking by his grace for his glory. God, I pray that we're not a people who just are known for listening to your word. And Father, I pray that you would allow your people now to stop and let that sink in. Father, are we a church who just delights in listening? Father, is this what's holding us up from truly growing in you? Because all we do is spend time listening. We check you off on Sunday mornings as, all right, church service, check, got it. Father, are we deceiving ourselves? Where we say, no, I'm safe. But yet now allowing your word to move us to obedience. Father, I know there's two groups of people here this morning. Those who truly know you and those who don't. So, Father, we lift up both. Those who don't know you. Father, that we know that salvation comes from hearing your word. Father, that your word takes root in their hearts and you open their minds to their sinfulness and your glory, Father. And we thank you for that. Father, and I lift up those here today who don't know you. And you keep pushing you off. Or they hear your truth, they hear your word, your commands. But yet they run from you. Father, I lift up those who might even be deceiving themselves, Lord, where they think that they're saved. Because they accepted the fact that you're Lord. But haven't surrendered to your Lordship. So, Lord, that they come here and they play religious games with eternal consequences, Father. Where they sit in your church. They listen to your servant, share the word. And slowly convince themselves that, yeah, I'm saved. Because I said that little, I believe. And finally, Father, I lift up those who do know you. Father, and maybe they were growing in you. But somehow along the way, they take their eyes off you. And they're just sort of drifting and coasting. Father, that you would remind them. You would open their eyes and unplug their ears to remember. Father, that they would run back to you even now, Lord. Repenting, Lord, and asking for forgiveness, Father. And then allowing your word to do their work. Moving that spirit in them, Father. So they would run into obedience. Father, we love you and we praise you. And I thank you. The minute the praise team's going to come back up. Right, and I want to give you guys come up, a chance to really respond. Right, and I know there's a lot of stuff that I missed, and, you know, that's nerves, but I know the Spirit of God, he covers all that stuff. So I want to give you guys the time to respond, and if that's there, you're here today, and you haven't surrendered your life to Christ. Stop playing games. If I could be so bold. Right? Will you allow him to work inside you? Knowing what he did on the cross. Right? And even right there in your seat, bow your heads and surrender your life. And I'll have people up here, myself, or some of these leaders I'll even pull down. And if you just want to come up and nobody's going to ask you any questions, but you just want to confess to somebody, I believe. And I ask you to do that today. Maybe you're here where you have been playing the game. All right, you've been deceiving yourself because you thought that's what you do. Just accept Christ. Nothing's happening outside of you. I encourage you to come too. Let your church family help you. We hold each other accountable. You said, I surrender my life to Christ, but I don't know what to do next. Come. Nobody's going to question you. We'll partner with you. What does that look like? How does that play out? So, here's your chance to respond, and I'll let the worship team do their thing. But I do want to invite you to come. come before you, giving you thanks, Lord. Thanks for allowing us to worship you through song and through your word. Father, now we come and we want to worship you through our giving. Father, knowing that you love a cheerful giver, Father. So, Father, we don't give out of duty, but we give out of delight, knowing that you'll take these gifts and multiply them for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Again, guys, I thank you guys for being here.